Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social. Burt Show.
Cassie hit us with an interesting fact earlier this morning. We were talking about the L.A. fires that are going on right now in Pacific Palisades and around the L.A. area. Man, absolutely and totally heartbreaking.
Just pure devastation.
To look at the video of all these communities. I mean, entire neighborhoods. I mean, burnt to the ground. All the memories. And it's terrible, right?
And the businesses. I was seeing Mandy Moore had posted because they had to flee. And she's like, our kids' school is burnt down. All the restaurants, all of our favorite restaurants. So people, they've lost homes, they've lost businesses, they have lost everything.
Yeah, a lot of people are also saying that, you know, these are celebrity homes, they got millions and millions of dollars, so don't sweat it too much for them. You got to remember, I got a DM this morning, there are nursing homes up there that are burnt to the ground now, and there's video of the elderly being escorted out of these nursing homes that really have no place to go now, so don't think it's just the A-list celebrities that are being affected by this thing. But they're totally out of hand. There are five different fires that are going on right now. And I was stressing this morning that L.A., no city could be prepared for this kind of fire. They have had these kind of brush fires before, but you got five going on at the same time. And it is really taxing the L.A. fire department so much that they've been taking donations to get meals to the firefighters, supplies to the firefighters. And Cassie was telling us this morning that it's so bad that there is a law out in California that allows convicts to help out with the fires.
Yeah, and actually it's a law in several states. Even Georgia does it too. In California specifically, 30% of the firefighters are convicts. They can choose whether or not to do it, and they do receive training. But in many states, you may not realize it, but prisoners are disaster relief response. They are cleanup. So if there's a tree across the road, it may be inmates that are moving it out of the way. Mudslides, in some states, they were forced to clean it up with no pay. California does pay them between $5 and $10 a day to fight the fires, with an extra $1 every hour if it's a disaster like happening now. So 30% of that, those people putting out the fires are inmates, and they're offered that as an alternate to being, I mean, in prison in their cell.
Had no idea. At first, yeah. Kristen was like, what? My brother's a firefighter.
Well, we wanted to talk about this again for clarification, because when we talked about it earlier, when you hear that, it hit a certain way, because I'm like, you can't just force inmates to be like, hey, you got to go fight these fires, because my brother is a firefighter. He actually trains firefighters. There is a significant level of training that goes into being a firefighter. And I'm like,
it's not just here, hold this hose.
Yeah.
Aim there.
And so that when you said that, I'm like, they are putting those inmates in severe danger. But now that we know that there is training involved, et cetera, I don't feel as... I don't know what the word I'm
looking
for. A
certain way.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't feel so bad about it.
I'm going to rain on your parade. It's both. So in California, it is optional, and there is training, mm-hmm. and they train them all, but some states force them to work without an option. Mm-hmm. It's indentured. It's called incarcerated slavery, and it's something a lot of people are fighting against, and there are loopholes. Ooh. They dug mass graves in New York for coronavirus. They put hand sanitizer in bottles and were only paid 16 cents an hour and weren't allowed to use the hand sanitizer. So a lot... California is not quite like that, because they are paying, though the rates, again, $10 a day is not a ton. But it is a very hot topic for people who are interested in prison reform and prisons, that a lot of inmates are being forced to do things like clean up from disasters or put themselves in danger with no pay, and they don't have a choice. And in fact, in California, inmates who are firefighters are four times more likely to get injured.
Oh, really?
Fighting the fires.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's a political hot potato. I don't want to get into it.
Yeah,
right
no,
now.
Sorry. Okay. I didn't mean to go down that route, but I did want to give everyone all the facts.
Hey, you are Cassie. You did graduate from Emory. It's to be expected to an extent.
All right, so let's ask this, because I know we spend a lot of time in January talking about New Year's resolutions. And in most cases, when people are talking about New Year's resolutions, they talk about them like, okay, I'm all enthusiastic about it. And then people throw out the statistic that in 18 days, your New Year's resolutions pretty much go away, right? That's what we we focus on is them failing. What I would like to focus on today is the ones that actually worked. Those of you that have been successful in 2023 and in past years, is there one thing that you either read or a podcast that you started listening to, a movie, a TV show that not only helped you with your New Year's resolution, but it was so impactful, you made that change forever? Kristen and I have talked about This Naked Mind.
Even though I haven't read it.
Yeah. But your husband has.
Yes. My husband actually has read it multiple times, because anytime he feels himself slipping or falling back into unhealthy patterns, he reads it again.
1-855-BIRCHOW. If you have the one thing that really got you over the hump, and when it comes to this book, as I've said over and over again, and I do not get paid for endorsing it, it was just very effective for me, because as we said before, it really it just takes every excuse that you have ever said about drinking before and it throws it out the window. Well, I have wine at night because it helps me sleep. No, it's really not helping you sleep at all. In fact, it's affecting your sleep big time. And that book, after reading it, really got me on the journey to severely alter my drinking. So what is that for you guys? 1-855-BIRCHOW. And we can focus on anything. It could be on smoking. It could be on weight loss. What are the other resolutions?
Didn't you say Squid Game 2 had a really big effect on you for the new year?
I did not. I just said it got me through a hangover on Tuesday.
That's all you need?
You know what I mean? That's it. I had to think, did I?
Mo's like, my murder in 2025.
For me, it was this book called The Secret. And it really helped me change my mindset, just my mentality overall, because it's a self-help book that teaches you how to manifest and how to positively manifest things into your life. And I think once I was able to change my mindset, positive things started happening to me. And I just lived my life very differently after reading that book.
This was a few years back, but The Art of Not Giving an F.
Oh. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's a good one too. Such a good book. And
I've read that book. I don't read books, and I've read that book 3 times.
Yeah. So The Art of Not Giving an F is basically, because I thought like, but you're supposed to give an F. But the whole premise of the book is you're supposed to care about the things that matter and then let go of the things that don't matter, don't serve you, etc. And I'm a fan of profanity, so it spoke to my heart, and it's an easy read, it's easily digestible, and it really helps with your mindset.
Mine is going to sound so silly compared to all y'all's, because I know this is like self-help central here, but I...
Bridgerton?
No. Can you imagine? No, Shonda Rhimes changed my life.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, I watched this movie called A Cinderella Story, starring Chad Michael Murray and Hilary Duff. And there's this one quote on the wall of the diner that says, "Don't let the fear of striking out keep you from playing the game." I have to tell you, I tell myself that in every scenario that has ever triggered my self-sabotaging tendencies. It has saved me from so much regret and so much, I know this sounds so dumb,
no.
So much regret and so much fear of failure. Mm-hmm. Just that mantra of trying and not just letting life pass me by because I'm afraid of failure.
Okay, so you are crediting that quote to the Cinderella story, which had Michael Moore. But let's go ahead. Babe Ruth.
Oh, that's who said it?
Is that a Babe Ruth quote?
Yes!
You gave it to Cinderella.
Don't let the fear of striking out hold you back.
It's not me erasing important
American history. I'll get to you, man.
I like your story better. All right, here is David. Okay, David, the one thing you were struggling with, and there was one either podcast, book, TV show, misquote from a celebrity that has really helped you go over the top and succeed. What is it?
How did Hilary Duff change your life?
Okay, so yeah. But yeah, for me, it was struggling with trying to get in shape. That was my main goal. And I was kind of struggling, you know, because I started walking, I started looking at it, but I wasn't being consistent. So I found this YouTube channel of Caroline Jordan. So Caroline Jordan, she's a fitness trainer. And she has these videos she put online. And like, I made it a habit to do at least one or two of those videos a day. They're really short videos, like, you know, anywhere from 5 minutes to like maybe 25 minutes. So very easy to do if you only have a little time. And they're not rigorous, but they do help you get in shape. They get you moving. They made a difference to me. I'm in the best shape of my life right now.
I love that. All right, say the name of it one more time.
Caroline Jordan, Jordan.
That's great. What I love about
Cassie, Cassie, I wanted to say this, but I hope your 2025 is a lot better than your 2024. And I hope everything works out for you this year.
Aww, that's so sweet.
That's really sweet. Thank you.
She'll just take 20%. Not everything. Just 20% better.
No, the girl deserves her. She deserves everything.
What I like about what he said there also with that specific video is that it's in small chunks and it's not forcing you into something super, super rigorous right off the bat. Mm. Are you looking at
I just want to remind everybody, Cinderella said.
First of all, wasn't Cinderella. It was a quote on the wall of her parents' diner that really gave her the bravery.
What did Cinderella say again, Abby?
It wasn't Cinderella.
It's very possible Cinderella was a Yankees fan if she heard it from her.
Disrespected Babe Ruth's entire legacy.
The Burt Show. Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You ever have a view that you're so incredibly passionate about, then something happens and you're like, I think I'm starting to question everything I know?
Maybe.
Katie?
Yep. I am questioning parenting, my future. What I had planned for what I wanted my future family to look like has changed drastically within the last month. So,
what was the OG vision?
The OG vision is that I was going to have a white picket fence, nice little house, and three kids.
Three?
Yes. Originally, having kids was a no-brainer to me.
Really?
I knew I wanted to have kids no matter what. But part of me felt like it's because I'm obligated, because I have to finish the family tree. I'm the only one there. I gotta keep it going.
It can't end with me.
Right. It can't end with me. And I know that growing up as an only child, I always wanted playmates and stuff like that. So I was like, when I look at my family, my future family, I was like, I want to have kids, but not one, because I don't want my child to be alone. So I always thought three, that'd be the perfect balance.
What happened to two?
Well, it went down. So,
life.
So it's like,
went from one to three real quick.
Yeah. So then I was like, well, maybe three is a little bit too much for me to push out. So then it went down to two.
Well, I mean, to be fair, and it's so funny how people like to call me out for this occasionally. When I first started the show 13 years ago, you know, Bart and I weren't getting married. We weren't having kids. And it was one of those things I thought I expressed as like, maybe we will, maybe we won't. We weren't passionate about it. But then there was one day I saw Bart holding a baby and my ovaries started like actually throbbing. And I'm like, yeah, no, we got to do this. We got to procreate. So we got married and we had a kid.
I mean, I think you got to give yourself some grace. I mean, as you evolve through life, your ideas and views are going to change.
Oh,
about
people
things.
Don't let you evolve in your own life.
Yeah.
You said. Yeah, stick to it.
Normalize. That it's okay to change your mind.
Completely okay.
And so once it was two, I thought that would be perfect. It's even and it lessens the statistics of one child being bad. So,
and you don't have to worry about that pesky middle child.
Yes. And this is like literally my thought process. And then I was like, you know what? An only child will be fine. I can just have one kid. And I came to that conclusion like a year and a half ago, that just one kid should be enough for me. But now I'm in a relationship and my girlfriend already has a child and her daughter is a preteen. And so I've spent a lot of time with her in these last couple of weeks, her daughter. And slowly but surely, I realized, nope, I don't think I want to have any children.
Is the preteen stage? You're not even in the teen stage yet.
No, not at all.
Do those hormones during the preteen stage, though?
Is it bad?
Yeah.
But there's a list of reasons. Like, her daughter's not a bad child at all. Mm-hmm. It's just I see what she goes through, like, as a mom and, like, trying to parent and teach her daughter things. And then there was a moment where I was hanging out with her daughter in the room, in her room and stuff, and I was just talking to her about something random. And she's like, hey, warning, my room's a little messy. I'm like, okay, well, you know how to clean it up. Okay, what does that have to do with me? She's like, I'm just saying. Sometimes it's going to be like this. Are you ready for this? Are you ready to go through this as a stepmom? And I'm like, am I ready? So then I just sat alone one day and just started to process this. If my girlfriend already has a daughter that's preteen, she's gotten through that phase of like the terrible twos, the toddler, diapers, all of that. And she knows what it's like. And I wouldn't have to deal with that if we just
left it as is.
You trying to come in at the end of the marathon?
Yes. Well, have you, this is obviously a conversation, this is something important that you need to discuss with yourself, but it's also important to discuss with the person you are with. Does your girlfriend want to have another child?
She's on the fence. She's like, okay, it doesn't matter. We can have a kid of our own together or not. It's just more so with me, I've started to become more terrified of what it looks like to be a parent.
Terrified?
No, yes, because you have to raise a accurate little human to be a good person. You have to teach them how life works. That is terrifying.
I think regardless of what you end up choosing, whether you decide to not have any more kids or if you do decide to have kids of your own, I think you're going into the experience so much more informed than like 90% of people who do choose to have kids. Because I'm in my late 20s and I'm in that era where a lot of my friends, I feel like, are kind of romanticizing the process of having kids. And if you want to have kids, I think that's beautiful. I think it's awesome to have that purpose. But sometimes when I hear them talk about it, I'm like, have you met a kid before? Like, it's not easy. So I think if you do choose to go for it, at least you have realistic expectations that I think will make you an incredible mother.
I have an idea.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Tomorrow, Abby, you and I are going to come in here, and I'm going to pitch all the reasons why Katie should not have a child, and you're going to pitch all the reasons why Katie should.
Abby's going to?
Yes.
Okay.
You pitch why she should have a kid. I will pitch why she shouldn't have a kid.
It won't be offensive at all.
Listen, I'm already on the fence here with moms out there.
You're doing it. Why she should.
Yeah. You got the easy part.
So you're going to step into what you have always thought you didn't want.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you're going to try to give advice as though it is something that you do want.
I'm going to have like two things on the list.
You got this.
Continuing the family legacy. Cute Christmas cards.
You can do this. And as a mother, I endorse this because I would like to see your perspective as a single person who doesn't want kids. And I'd like to see yours having been a mom.
Yes. And Cassie, who has two kids, wants to argue for the not having kids also.
Don't do it.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I want to give a quick content warning here that we're going to be discussing suicide because we've got to talk about Stephen Boss, aka Twitch, who passed away 2 years ago after he took his own life. But his wife is getting so much flack from his family.
I was kind of pissed. I'll be honest with you.
So I was trying to sit back and let it absorb because I am so oddly invested in this story because I was shocked at how affected I was by Twitch's passing when he died by suicide. Just because I think you look and you saw this person who was like the DJ for Ellen and he was so outgoing and seemed like he, you know, had a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, beautiful life. And then he takes his own life and it rocks you a little bit. And make sure you check on everybody in your life, even those that, you know, seem like they're doing good, right? And then now coming out with his widow writing this memoir, this book, and then what she decided to include in the book. And I feel like it's like every person is entitled to share their story. But then the family coming in and the way his brother dragged her for what she said in the book. I am so head deep in this.
Give us all the details.
Okay, so here's what went down. So it's now been a little over 2 years since Twitch took his own life. And so he has a widow that he's left. Her name is Allison Hooker. And she did an interview with People Magazine where she was promoting a memoir that she's putting out next month. It's called This Far. So in the interview that was published on Tuesday, she said that she discovered a bunch of drugs in his shoeboxes right before his funeral. So she said that it was incredibly triggering. She said that she found it in the closet. She found drugs like mushrooms. She found pills and just, in quotations, other substances, and just revealed that it was really, that she had no idea that this was happening. So, you know, while we're on the outside saying, you know, we see this person who looks really happy, someone who was even married to him didn't even know that there was potential drug abuse happening under her own roof.
Is she writing this and using the premise that I'm sharing my experience for others that might be going through the same thing?
Yeah, of course. I mean, and you can also make the argument that, you know, maybe this is a cash grab because she's putting out a memoir. And so she's got to find a way to support her and her family. But his family and friends are absolutely outraged by this decision. So actually, his cousin replied to a post on X, formerly known as Twitter, about everything she's saying about Twitch. So he said that he wasn't an addict. He smoked weed and was actively trying to quit. He wasn't some junkie. And then in another tweet, he said, "This crazy woman made me and his actual family, including his mom, sign an NDA just to even attend the funeral." So she's been trying to tarnish his legacy, but basically saying that she made everyone sign this NDA, but now here she is saying all this private information about him in this book that she's now going to be able to profit off of.
Yeah, they're saying she won't let the family see the kids, but it was the post that his brother did. And I don't have readily accessible, but I mean, he is just calling her out for besmirching the family name, dragging his name through mud, not allowing him to rest in peace. She found his journals and read his journals, and supposedly she's including his private journal in her memoir. And that's where I'm like, because you have to remember, they have three kids. One is older, two are younger, and they're going to see all of this and have access to all of this as well. I couldn't fathom as a widow, like I could imagine there's like a roller coaster of emotions and, you know, like how selfishly, obviously he was struggling with mental illness to have died by suicide, but selfishly you're like, how could you do this to me? How could you do this to your kids? How could you leave us like this? And you want to tell your story. I get that, but I feel like we've crossed a line here.
I feel like there's no way you can like say it or put it. It's vile to use someone's suicide story and you take stories from their private journal and to put it in a memoir. It's exploiting him, and it's a violation, and I'm with his family. I really don't think it's a cool thing to do at all.
Yeah, and it's the kids that Kristen touched on to me also. I mean, this is in writing, right? This is the permanent record right here. There's a fine line here, and I've never had to go through it myself, but I do think that there are things that you should absolutely keep from your kids that they never need to know. And in this book, I just feel like there are things here that they never need to know about their dad.
And I think that the friends and family's response to this is really the most telling thing of all, because I feel like if it was truly done in good faith, then the friends and family wouldn't have this big of a response to it, because they would understand where she's coming from, or maybe they would even be in on it. But the fact that like she's putting it out there and everyone's like, we do not approve of this whatsoever, shows to me that it does feel, not malicious in any way, but I think the word cash grab is what I'm latching onto, because it does feel like this, the only reason you would do this is to get some kind of profit off of it.
And I'm trying to figure out, why in the world would she have his family sign an NDA for his funeral? Like, I can't make that make sense. Unless she wanted to be the one to disclose everything and get more information for her memoir. I can't make sense of it either.
Maybe she didn't want them speaking to the press if they were asked about it. I have no idea. But for more stories, head to The Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Well, this should be a real easy assignment for our house therapist, Andrea Berkeley, from the Sounds Like Therapy podcast. How do you tell your husband you want a divorce without hurting his feelings?
Oh.
That seems like an impossible task.
No. Piece of cake. You want to read the email, Chris?
Sure. We got this email, and we were like, over our pay grade, we need to call in the professional, which is why we have Andrea on. But the email reads, "I love my husband, but I do not love him romantically anymore. We've been together for 10 years, married for 7, 2 kids, ages 2 and 6. We've been together since my early 20s, and he is pretty much the only relationship I've ever had. I am not sure when my feelings changed, but over the last couple of years, I feel like a single mom with 3 kids. He has ADHD and has trouble regulating his emotions, and I've asked him for years to get medicated or to see a therapist, but he refuses. He has trouble handling the kids and gets overwhelmed easily, so I just end up taking care of everything to avoid his meltdown. It seems like everything is the end of the world with him, no matter how small an inconvenience it is, which means I have to act like everything is fine, no matter what, to balance it out. It's exhausting. Placating to his emotional needs. I work all day, and then as soon as work is over, my kids are home from school and they need attention. And then as soon as they go to bed, he wants attention. And there's only so much I can give before I am just tabbed out. I started trying to go out and reconnect with friends I had lost touch with, but he made me feel guilty about that since I never used to go out, and now I am. And he has no friends who live nearby, so he cannot do the same, even though I told him anytime he wants to get out, he should. I told him I was not happy, but I did not get into the full extent of considering divorce. When I talked to him, he cried and said he cannot lose me as he has nothing else without me. And now he's trying to make all these plans to see what we can do to change how I feel. He's like a different person, which is nice and makes me feel even guiltier that I just don't think there is anything left to save. And I am emotionally checked out of the marriage, and I do not think I can make myself fall back in love with him. I also worry that if I give up on the divorce idea and go back to the way things were, how long can he really keep up this before going back, before everything is back to the way it was? I know the easiest thing to suggest is counseling, and when I mentioned it, he suggested I go alone, as he sees this as a me problem and not an us problem.
Uh-oh.
I know I should try harder to make it work for my kids, but I'm just done. I want this all to be over, but there is so much to consider. I feel lost, alone, like a bad person, that I do not want to work on trying to make things work more, and I just want it to be over. I've already started casually looking at apartments nearby so my kids do not have to change schools, making a mental note of what we can split in the house and trying to put some money aside, but he does not know any of this. I want to make sure everything is in order before I actually file, but maybe I am just trying to delay the inevitable. I just don't know anymore. Any advice is welcome. Please help me, overwhelmed wife and mom.
Okay, I'm sure Andrea is going to have a lot to say about this. The one thing that stands out to me more than anything else, though, is when he's like, you go to therapy, man. This is not a me thing. It's a you thing. That's the first thing where I'm like, it doesn't matter, man. It is not going to change. I had Andrea Berkeley joining us from the Sounds Like Therapy podcast. Legally, I got to tell you, she's part of my podcasting network, and I'm very damn proud of it. Hey, Andrea.
Hey, Bert.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm bursting at the seams right now. I don't even know where to begin. But what you said was one of the things that stuck out to me, too. When you're in a couple, if one person says, we have a problem as a couple, you have a problem as a couple. And saying, hey, your unhappiness is your problem is just another way of dodging responsibility and accountability and engagement. And so I really do think that this listener has a very good read on this situation. Even though her husband reacted emotionally when she said, I'm unhappy, my guess is this happens all the time. It's probably happened 100 times before, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed here.
Let me ask you this. Can people fall back in love? Because I've always sort of worked under the premise that once that switch is off, it is very difficult to turn back on.
Oh, I so disagree.
Okay.
But I do think that good partnering, especially with modern marriage, good partnering is the barrier to entry. So we don't even need to talk about love or falling in love when we've got a married single mother situation. If she is coming home and she is living with a man who's not pulling his weight in the house, who she has to work around emotionally, who's not pulling his weight with the kids, and who won't even do things like go out with friends or go to therapy or get his ADHD treated, there's no way that she's going to feel love towards him when he's a bad partner.
This almost sounds like emotional common sense that he's like, I'm going to change. But verbally, he's really saying, I'm not going to change.
Oh, 100%. His actions are showing you he's not going to change. And I actually don't even hear him saying he's going to change. I think what he's probably saying is, I love you. Let's do some more fun things together. Let's find the ways to make you happier that involve no work from me, that involve only what I want to do. Listener, you need to understand that he will not change because the marriage that you have right now, the one where you do all the work and you're the only grown-up, it's working for him. It's working for him. And until you let him know that, like, this anger and frustration that I have, it has teeth. Like, I'm literally looking at apartments. I'm going to divorce you over this. You're going to repeat this same cycle around and around and around again.
So Mary here is calling in. That's not her real name. And she's on The Voice. Guys are looking for some free therapy because she's going through the exact same thing as this email. Hey, Mary.
Hi, this is definitely verbatim. Everything that she has listed is me.
I'm sorry.
I went for the first time on a girl's trip at the age of 50 last year. And I'm made to feel guilty. I went again last year with a few more friends, and I was made to feel guilty. I'm always apologizing for things that, you know, we created in an argument. I was always there for my kids ADHD-wise. He doesn't believe in therapy, and he said if we did therapy and I said something in front of the therapist, then we might as well get a divorce. Well, that happened, and here we are. We're in the process of getting a divorce.
So if you were going to give advice, not professional advice like Andrea, but if you were going to give advice to this listener when you're going through the exact same thing and she was your best friend, what would you tell her?
I would tell her to take it one day at a time. Focus on yourself and how you can improve yourself. And then go with your gut. Just make sure you are healed. And if you have kids, you know, make sure that you love them. Tell them that. And that they are not, you know, the cause of this relationship. But you have to take care of yourself.
Sure. Appreciate you calling. You agree with all that?
I do agree with that. And I think taking things one step at a time is important because this listener, I hear almost in that question, how do I do this without hurting his feelings? I am also hearing a strategic issue. When he shows up emotionally and says, this isn't fair, I don't have anything else but you, and he makes her feel really bad, you can see all the people pleasing in here, right? This listener is a very kind person who wants things to be better and feels bad when he's hurting. Maybe she does need to go to counseling, not because her unhappiness is a her problem, but so that she can really have that backbone so that she can feel supported when she is going to have to say things that are going to make him upset so that she doesn't just do the same thing she always does, which is, okay, fine, I'll back off. I'll do everything again until I can't stand it anymore. And here we go, round 552.
It does sound like he's taking advantage of the fact that she's a good person.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is Andrea Berkley. She is from the Sounds Like Therapy podcast. What do you got coming up on the podcast this week?
Well, I've got to tell you what I'm doing on the podcast, which is I'm actually taking listener questions just like what you're hearing here, but I'm sitting down with listeners. We are having an actual live conversation. It's my favorite way of answering listener questions. So if you've ever had a relationship question and you're like, I wish I had a friend who was a therapist who would just talk to me for like half an hour about this, I will do that. I want you to find my show, Sounds Like Therapy, and submit your question. And I'm actually able to schedule time to talk to listeners. There's other ways to have your question answered too, but that is my favorite one. And I love Burt Show listeners. I'd love to answer your real life relationship questions.
It's probably fair because, you know, you're giving them 30 minutes and we only give you five.
Exactly. I'm like, I have so much more to say. I might need to answer this question on my podcast. So if you're this listener, send me your question. We can have a full conversation.
I think this might be a new industry for therapy. Just 5-minute therapy. Just line them up, man. Like a conveyor belt.
I would do like 30-minute one time. We'll call it consultation. Then I'm not risking my license. But yes, these listener conversations are incredible. I'm meeting the best people. A lot of them love you guys. So I would love more Burt Show listeners. Questions. So just look me up. Sounds Like Therapy. There's a link in every one of the show notes so that you can submit your own question.
Thank you, Andrea.
You're welcome.
All right, it's the Burt Show.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Kaylee, before we get into what you're here for, which is you playing a prank on me, which has clearly not gone over well with somebody else, Amanda, my girlfriend, and I have a question for you.
Oh, I would love to answer it.
Okay. What is a prison tattoo? And a prison sleeve. I'll tell you why I'm asking. So I walked in. Let me give him the backstory on it.
Okay.
So I walk in here after my vacation, right? And I am getting passport tattoos now for every country that I go in. And it's been 3 countries since I've had this idea. So there are 3 different stamps now on my arm. One is from Argentina, one is from Madrid, Spain, and one is from Portugal, right? So I walk in here and Kaylee's obviously been following me online on Instagram and he takes a look at my tattoos and he's like, well, what else are you going to do with it? And I'm like, well, I'm just going to get tattoos up and down my arm of like passport stamps. And he's like, well, then you're going to look like you had it done in a prison.
That's fair.
I don't really know what that looks. I don't know what that means, but I went back to Amanda with it because she sort of has the same sleeve. So we're wondering what prison tattoos and prison sleeves are.
So in prison, not that I've been there.
But you know tattoos.
Correct. Yes. And actually,
haven't been there yet.
There's always a chance, right? Maybe don't I'll go up. In there with a little bit of knowledge ahead of me. Hey, I know about this place. No, so typically when you see a lot of prison tattoos, they don't have any access to color. And I'm not saying that that is definitely a deciding factor, but a lot of times it's just a little devil head here, and then there's one right here, and then there's nothing that ties in. There's no
rhyme
theme
or reason to it.
It's just a bunch of junk on your arm.
They're sporadic.
Yeah, and it just kind of looks crappy.
So now, what he was telling me is my arm right now looks crappy.
No, not yet.
he's trying to
you
say
got a beautiful, you got beautiful arms, Bert. No, I was just saying, I think as you get going, it might be cool to incorporate something that ties it all in.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Do you want a sleeve, though?
But
it's not a sleeve. That I understand what you're saying, the vision of what you're saying. There has to be something in between them to make it look like art more than just like
put
random.
Put some background. Some landscape.
At the point where you just got 10 passport stamps on your arm, you're going to need something to tie it all together. It's going to look crazy.
I hadn't even thought of that.
Unless you want to look hard, maybe that dude was in prison.
Yes, in every country.
All right, so on to this prank here, man.
Okay. Was it a prank? It was a gift, Bert. I have decided as I've gotten a little older that when I show up to someone's house, I must bear gifts. And especially, you invited me over and the rest of us for the Christmas party this past. So what do you do when you go to someone's new house? You bring a gift. Now, I didn't tell you I was giving you a gift.
You brought me a bunch of gifts I didn't
actually
know
about. Yeah. And that's exactly what I did. Now, it's a little backstory. Bert, a few years back at a Christmas, I said, Bert, what do you want for Christmas? You have everything you need. You go, just give me I just want a picture of you. And so I did that. And I provided him with a framed photo of a towel image of myself barely covering my junk. It was like a hand towel, and it was, and for whatever the reason, Bert, it has been with you for 6 years. It's traveled to like 4 houses. You must love it because it just keeps popping up everywhere.
Now, it's not on like displayed anywhere in my house, but it has traveled with me from home to home, and it has been in boxes, and somehow it does end up on my dresser magically when you arrive.
So this time I was like, well, going to Bert's house, I can't, you know, he's already got one photo of me. So let's go back to that photo shoot that my wife did of those towel pics and let me go get a fresh one to provide him. Now, there was a lot of things that happened. I had to go to CVS. But like after I got off work, I had to send that image to Tommy. Tommy had to loan me a thumb drive. I went to CVS, and as I'm going there to print out the picture, I literally have to sit this close to this nurse who's doing a thing. And I'm like, I apologize for what you're about to see. And she's like, oh, I won't look. I'm like, I don't care if you look. I'm just apologizing in advance.
Well, now you made it weird.
Right.
Well, it would have been even more weird not to address the big elephant in the story.
That's on your screen.
Yeah.
So you're giving her the heads up on what she's about to see.
Absolutely.
Okay.
First, and so Bert, go to the party. I put it in your room. You wake up. You see it. Ha-ha. But this one you bring back to me.
Right.
I repurposed it. So this is what I did. Riley Austin, who is the son of a former colleague of 99X, who's a radio personality. Riley works for me now. And so they were going to North Carolina to spend the Christmas with his mom's family.
This is Lewis's kid?
Yes.
Oh, tell him I said hey.
So I wrapped it. I put it to Lewis from Santa. On Christmas morning, Lewis is opening up all his presents. Riley's got the camera on, and this is what happened.
Hi, guys. Thank you.
We'll see you guys later, too.
All right, guys.
Oh, God. I don't need that. Oh, my.
What is that?
Oh, it's Chris. Oh. Oh, it's for your house.
Housewarming present.
Oh.
Oh, my
God.
I'm he's cleanly shaven. Oh, I can't keep looking. Can we turn it around?
It physically is hurting him.
It sounds like he's going to punch him in the stomach.
Who did he open that up in front of?
Everybody, like the mom, the aunt, all the cousins. And it was like, and so what was even funnier is the grandfather was in the room, but wasn't really paying attention. And Lewis put it on the mantle. And when he was watching the game, the picture was covering the score. And he had to get up and he goes, what the hell is this gay stuff?
Didn't go over as well. No. Now, I know Lewis, so if this was just between you and he would have been so cool about it. But with the family around, he's probably really, really awkward.
It was very awkward, but the family loves me. They're like, that's Riley's boss. They're like, no way.
It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.